Well, if you'll turn back to the Gospel of John, John chapter 11. If you're just joining us this morning for the first time, we've been asking the question in the past several weeks, who is Jesus? We know what others say. Some people say he's a good man. He was a prophet. He was a wise teacher. But we want to hear what Jesus has to say. What does Jesus say about himself? Who does he say he is? So let's see what he says as we continue on in John chapter 11. We'll pick up in verse 17. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you have always heard me. But I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Will you pray with me? Lord, we read of this incredible account where a man was raised from the dead. We read of things that you have said about yourself, that you are the resurrection and the life, Lord, and we confess our hearts are skeptical at times, and we need you to strengthen us. We know that faith is a gift from you, and so we ask by your Spirit that you would work in our hearts this morning, reminding us of what you have done, what you have said, of who you are and of who we are. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you can see over on the sides here, we have the windows open. And we're enjoying this warm weather. Broke a record yesterday. And our family, we were out actually taking a walk. My brother came up with his wife, and we ended up going out and taking a walk around the neighborhood. And I don't know if you've noticed, but the grass is getting greener. There's some longer blades than the brown is slowly disappearing. But even more so, maybe you've seen little tiny flowers start to come up. And we actually walked by this one house that had all kinds of crocuses that were in bloom, and we walked onto their lawn. I wondered if they were looking out the window. And we bent down just like, hey kids, look at this. Look at these flowers. Now, if it were months from now, we probably wouldn't stop, right? We would just keep going. Why is it so amazing right now? Why is it so amazing to see these little flowers? When we got home, Anna had a little dish, and she had two little purple flowers. I didn't know she had picked them. They weren't from that person's yard. But she had them floating in a little cup of water. And I said, oh, where'd you get those? She said, on our walk. And I thought, why is it so amazing that we notice these things now? And it's really because everything has been dead, and now it is coming to life. And it reminds us of our lives. I don't know if you remember, Thursday morning, got up, was driving here, and I could barely see. There was so much fog. I don't know, maybe you remember. It was real foggy here in St. Albans. And about noontime, afternoon, the fog burnt off. And it reminded me of how short our lives are, because the Bible says your life is but a vapor, a mist in the morning, and then it is gone. And it reminded me how short our lives are, that we too face death, that it's a reality for all of us. No one can escape it. We have all been affected by it. I would say every person in this room has been affected in some way by death. But just as spring comes and declares that winter will not win, Jesus has come declaring the truth that death will not win, because he is the resurrection. He is the life, and we must believe in him. Well, first of all, we've got a big problem in the world. We live in a world that is just full of death. We hear about it all the time. Just in the last week or so, we've heard about people who died in the subway in Russia. There was a bombing. We heard about a boy who was killed at Disney World. His bike hit a side of a bus. We have heard other things even around here in our community. As I was driving down the street, we live in the city, and I was driving past the Catholic Church, and I saw some cones set outside, and I saw the word healed written on the cone for Healed's Funeral Home, which reminded me again, there is death everywhere. And just this a couple days ago, I talked to a woman on the phone who we've helped from a church, just saying, checking up, seeing how you're doing, wanted to invite her this morning. I said, how are you doing? She said, it's been a rough past couple months. Said, I don't know if you knew, but I was pregnant last time we talked, and I delivered the baby and it died. And so again, confronted with the reality that we live in a world that is full of death. Actually, there's statistics that every 4 seconds, someone else dies in this world. Which means by the time we've started the service to the end, over 1,000 people will have died. That's staggering. And the first thing that we know from the Bible is that death is not natural. It is not natural. We were not created to die. When God created the world, he created it good without death. Adam and Eve in the garden, there was no death. But where did things go wrong? Well, they were tempted. God told them, you can eat from every tree in the garden except this one right in the middle, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then Satan came along. He said, doesn't that fruit look good there? Did he really say that you can't eat from any tree in the garden? See, he twisted it. And they believed the lie. And they went, they took the fruit and they ate. They disobeyed God. They did what he told them not to do. And at that moment, death was a reality in our world. That is when death came into this world. And the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. They disobeyed God. They sinned against God. And therefore, that death, that sin brought a wage, a payment, which is death. And we have turned away too. Can anyone in here say, I have perfectly obeyed God all my life? I can't. The Bible tells us if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth's not in us. So let us all admit we have all fallen short of God's glory. We have all sinned. We have all not obeyed God perfectly. And so we all deserve death now, a wage. Well, death is not only not natural, death is also an enemy. It's like a robber. If you've experienced anything with death in your life, maybe a loved one, you know that when death comes in, it steals away, it cuts short, it removes, it tears apart. I know this a little bit, not quite like some of you, but a little bit, in that my grandmother, she was going out to dinner one night. She was walking outside, the door of their house into the garage. She fell down there a couple steps. She hit her head on the car, went into a coma. 3 days later, she was dead. Never got to see her right then before she died. The next thing I knew, we were out there for the funeral. There is a robbing, a stealing away. And the Bible says the last enemy to be destroyed is death. But death is not only just not natural or an enemy, it's also painful because it affects those we love. You've heard people in the news who have died who you barely even know, and you read it or you hear it and you kind of go, it doesn't really affect you, does it? But when someone close to you dies, it's like your heart is torn in two. That is why it's painful, and Jesus knew what that was like. Lazarus was his friend. He loved Lazarus. In verse 3, Mary and Martha appeal to Jesus, say, Jesus, the one whom you love is ill. And then in verse 5, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. He called Lazarus his friend in verse 11. And so this is wrenching for Jesus. And how did he respond? Did you catch it? Jesus comes to Mary. She says, Lord, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. And did you notice how it says in verse 5, Jesus loved Martha, her sister, and Lazarus. So, verse 6, when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer. Well, that doesn't sound very loving, does it? Well, he loved them, so he's not going to go be with them. But actually, that was the most loving thing that he did. We'll find out why. Because if Jesus came right then, Lazarus may not have died. Lazarus had to die in order for this account to be here according to what God had designed. We'll see what happened here. If you look in verse 33, Mary weeping. Jesus sees her weeping, and the Jews who came with her, they're also weeping. And what does it say? He was deeply moved in his spirit. Do you know, if you go back to the original language here, the word is actually snorting like a horse. Now that sounds a little bit different, but it's snorting like when a horse is really angry, and there's rage, there's indignation. Jesus is angry here at something. He is angry at sin. Look at what sin has done to the world that he created. He's angry at death. And as one says, he's angry at the one who has the power of death. And Jesus came to do battle with death, and now he's confronting an enemy, and he's about to do battle with death. So there's the deeply moved. And the Bible also said here, he was greatly troubled. The word here is a disturbed. He's disturbed in himself. And some say it's the sympathy here as he saw the weeping. He saw the Jews with her that were weeping. And what happens with Jesus? He weeps as well. The creator of the world weeping. And so I ask you this morning, because when we are confronted with death, when we have experience with death, what do we do? You know what society expects you to do? They expect you to stop for a couple days and then go back to work and get it all together, right? But right here, we see an appropriate response is not to stuff things down. It's not to say, I don't want to deal with it. I'm just going to go do something else. Here, there is real trouble. There's weeping. There's loss. And anger is an appropriate response. Now, some of you, maybe if you've dealt with death, you've been angry with God. Is that an appropriate response? Do we see that here? I don't think we see it here. And we need to know where to direct anger. Martha and Mary, when they said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. I don't think they're angry at God. I think instead, I don't see a real anger here. I see a sorrow. But instead, Jesus, he's not angry with his father. It's clear from the context here. He is angry at sin and the effects, which is death. And so, we come needing a solution. We have a problem. The world is full of death. What is the solution? This might surprise you, but the solution is death. There's one solution. Death is the solution for a world that is full of death. Does that make sense? Well, when you first hear it, it's like, what? That doesn't make any sense. But guess what? Lazarus would not be raised if he did not die. Jesus would not be raised from the dead if he did not die. And as one says, we also like easy victories. We like growth without crisis, healing without pains, the resurrection without the cross. But the wages of sin must be paid. If all of a sudden death just stopped, we would actually be maybe in a worse place, definitely in a worse place. God sent Jesus. He sent him. He provided a solution to our problem. Jesus, who was perfect, who did not sin, he took death for us. He had to die to pay the penalty of your sin and of mine. So the first solution is death. The second solution is the resurrection. If Jesus had stayed dead, we actually would all need to get up from our chair right now and walk out the door and go home. Because the Bible tells us if he is still dead, then our faith is futile. We're still in our sins. Preaching is in vain. But, in fact, Jesus has risen from the dead. Why? How? Because he is the resurrection. Jesus Christ is the resurrection. It's not just an event, not just something that happened. He is the resurrection. It is who he is. And the Bible tells us, Paul says in 1 Corinthians, this is of first importance. If you don't get anything else this morning, get this. That Jesus Christ died according to the scriptures, and that he rose again according to the scriptures. Psalm 16, the scriptures tell us that predicted Jesus' resurrection. It says, you will not let your Holy One see corruption. In other words, God wasn't going to let him stay dead. But he was going to raise him from the dead. And third solution is life. Jesus himself is life. A couple different ways we can look at this. First of all, he has life. John 1:4, it says in the beginning of this book, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. John 5, the Father granted the Son to have life in himself. So Jesus actually possesses life in him. That's how he can say to people, if you believe in me, you will not die, but you will live. He gives life. Now, he gave Lazarus physical life, right? He raised Lazarus from the dead. They rolled away the stone. And he called, he said, Lazarus, come out. And this man who was dead for 4 days came walking out of the tomb. But a thing that we don't often think about is that Lazarus died again. Didn't he? It may have been great on that day. Hey, Lazarus is alive again. But there came another day where he died again. And so we ought not to hold on to the physical resurrection, although there is that sense here. But what Jesus is pointing to is the spiritual. That it's life that matters. The spiritual life is what matters and what lasts. What does the resurrection mean in your life? It means that you are free from sin. That it's no longer held over you, condemning you. You're free from guilt. And the devil will try to throw that back in your face. But you are free from it. If you believe in Jesus, you're free from the devil and his power. You're free from the lies there. You're free from despair and hate. You're free from the fear of death. Some of you in this room are afraid of dying. But if you believe in Jesus and you trust in him with your whole life, you do not need to fear death, because though you will die, everyone will die physically, you will live spiritually. And you are free to ask forgiveness. You're free to receive forgiveness. You're free to receive faith, which is God's gift to you. And do you know what the Bible says? One day, when Jesus comes again, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. There will be no more death. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. There is one alternative: eternal life with God through Jesus Christ. The other alternative is eternal death, where death will be always, where there will be tears forever. What we have seen in here, there will be pain, there will be mourning, there will be separation from the goodness of God. And so this morning I am here to tell you that you do not have to endure in eternal death. That Jesus Christ has said, whoever believes in me, though he die, he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. The actual way we could read that is, everyone who lives and believes in me shall not die forever. And so, I end with the question that Jesus ended with. Do you believe this? That's what he asked. We see the word believe at least 6 times here. The whole passage is pointing to faith. Did you catch it? This death happened, Jesus said, so that, for the purpose of, you will believe. I'm glad I was not there, so that, for the purpose that you may believe. Do you know, sometimes Jesus tests our faith. Sometimes we go through difficult situations and we cry out, God, where are you? Maybe Mary and Martha were crying out the same thing. Jesus, where are you? But yet, Jesus waits. He also said, I say this, that you have heard me, Father, that they may believe. Jesus is acting. All these things he is doing is so that we may believe. And I love how he deals with Martha. Remember Martha? Martha was the one serving. Remember Mary and Martha? He was at their house another time. They had disciples there. And Martha felt, hey, they're at my house. I got to prepare a meal. Got to get something ready here. And so she leaves and Mary sits at Jesus' feet. And she comes out. She says, Jesus, tell Mary to help. Start helping. She's not doing her part here. And Jesus looks at her and says, Martha, Martha, you are very anxious and troubled about many things. But Mary has chosen the better thing, to sit at my feet and listen. This is the same Martha. She comes. She says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And I think we see some growth in Martha here. But even now, she knows that whatever you ask, God will give you. And Jesus addresses her concern, your brother will rise again. She said, well, I know he'll rise again at the resurrection on the last day. And then Jesus tells her that he is the resurrection, he is the life. and he gets off the subject of Lazarus for a minute, and he turns to Martha and he says, "Do you believe this?" I love how Jesus does that. He doesn't get fixated on Lazarus. "Well, we got to raise this guy from the dead." He doesn't get all anxious. "Well, just hold on, Mary. Hold on, Martha. I'm almost there. Everybody, just calm down." He doesn't do that, does he? He's concerned about, do they believe? And he's going to show his power, his battle with death. And we know that now, Jesus Christ, since he has risen from the dead, he has conquered death forever. What has he done? He has put death to death. He was sent by God. He lived a perfect life. He paid the penalty. Jesus himself says, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Whoever comes, no one can come to the Father except through me." Did you catch the two little words, real important words? Whoever believes. Did he say, whoever believes, though he die, yet he shall live, and everyone who lives and believes shall never die? No, there's two words missing. Very important words. Whoever believes in me, he says. In me. It's not just any belief. It's a specific belief in Jesus. And so I ask you, do you believe this? Do you know what Martha said? She said, "Yes, Lord." Did you hear what she called him? Lord. You're my Savior. You're my Lord. And the words here and the language are, "Yes, Lord, I firmly believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God who is coming into the world." Can you say that this morning? Do you believe it? You might ask, "I'm not sure if I believe." How can I believe? How do I believe? And I say, first of all, it is by his grace that any of us believe. And it is by his grace that you believe. Belief, faith in Christ is a free gift. Because we're told the wages of sin is death, but, one of my favorite words, but the gift of God, the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. If you like anacronyms, you know, where you put a word right down and each letter stands for something else, what is faith? I heard this one recently. Forsaking all, I trust him. F-A-I-T-H. Forsaking all, I trust him. In other words, the forsaking part, God shows us our need. I know I have sinned. I can't hide it from you anymore. Please forgive me. So you're turning from sin and you're turning to Christ. And then trusting in him. With your whole life, you're living for him. Someone said it's like if you're up in an airplane flying around and you want to do some skydiving. You have a parachute on your back, right? You jump out of the plane. You've got this little red cord that you have to pull in order for the parachute to open. Your whole life is dependent, well, obviously on God, but your life is dependent on that parachute. If that doesn't open, you're not going to live. And so, when we trust in Christ with our whole life, that is when we believe in him. And it's not just a trust up here, and then we live whatever way we want. It's living for him. And if there are some of you in this room who have believed for a long time, you might say, "How do I keep believing?" And I say, as God says, it is by his grace that you continue to believe. That Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus Christ not only raised Lazarus from the dead, but that he rose from the dead, pointing forward to what was going to happen. We thank you that because he is risen, we have new life. We do not live in fear or bondage. We do not live in condemnation, but we live in freedom. And I pray that if there is someone here, if there is anyone here who does not know the freedom of Jesus Christ, his resurrection and his life, that you would work in their heart right now, draw them to yourself, that you would call them, that they would not be able to go to sleep tonight without placing their entire trust and faith in Jesus Christ, and that they would be changed. And Lord, those of us who believe, increase our faith. Enable us to continue believing. We are so dependent on you, yet we know that if you have begun a good work in us, you will carry it to completion. And we thank you for that. We praise you. And we desire to worship you with our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's respond by singing hymn 286, Worship Christ, the Risen King. Let's stand and sing together.